Yeah, even though I worked full-time, they came first. Their activities, whatever they were involved in, that was the most important thing.
All right. You got the idea. We're talking kids today, and I'll tell you what we're going to do. By the way, this is Intentional Living. I'm Dr. Randy, along with our team. Welcome to Facebook. Friends joining us as well. And on the radio and our podcast here and around the world, you can join me live in the studio. 888-888-1717. All right, I got about three things I started to talk about. 888-888-1717. We're talking about kids today. And in particular, here's what we want to do, because we believe here at Intentional Living that we pass on to the next generation things that we've learned. Hopefully they'll listen, maybe they won't, but we can't be responsible for that, but we certainly can share what we've learned. And I'd love to have you share something you've learned that you want to pass along to a newbie, you know, a rookie type, a parent coming along, getting started with that firstborn or young one. Something you've learned, you'd pass along. One thing that you learned that you would say to a group of young parents, what would it be? 888-888-1717 is the number. 888-888-1717. We'll hear the rest of Pam's comments in a moment, and we'll get to your calls as well. I will tell you, I was just talking to the team here before we got started. You know, my wife Donna and I were married as teenagers, but we didn't have children for about 7 years. Infertility is what we faced, and a whole story there. And so our heart goes out to those of you who have been down that trail, and you know some of the challenges. But 7 years in, Donna is pregnant, and we have our firstborn. And we didn't know what we were doing. I wasn't out doing my conferences yet on parenting. Or I was, and I had all the simple answers. You know, do this, and that'll be fine. Do that. And then after you have one child, you go out and do a conference, and your opinions are a little shorter because you've learned some lessons. I always tell the story. I can remember where I'm the baby of the family. I can remember we'd leave the home where my older brothers had kids. And, you know, they were little kids, and they're just being kids. They're good kids. But we, you know, we're dumb. I mean, we don't have any kids. And so we're driving home and thinking, well, I'll tell you what, our kids will never do that. Hello. God said, okay, here's one for you. Anyway, one thing I'll pass along a few thoughts that we've learned over the years, parenting and now grandparenting. But one thing you'd share with other young parents, give us a call, 888-888-1717. Okay, Pam. Give it to us straight, the rest of your story.
I would say to always make sure that you're involved with your children's life, whatever they're involved in, whether it be Little League or soccer or marching band. I mean, I raised two boys by myself, and I coached their teams. Hmm. I was chaperoning.
Wow.
Even though I worked full-time, they came first. Their activities, whatever they were involved in, that was the most important thing. And I grew up, both of them have turned into wonderful men, and I don't regret a moment of the time that I spent with them.
Yeah. Boy, that's important.
Yeah.
You got to have a balance, obviously, but investing in their lives and what they're interested in. What kind of you have a good relationship with your sons today?
Yes, I do.
Yeah,
I'm very, very blessed.
So you were a coach. What sport did they play?
They both played t-ball when they were young, and then they went into soccer. I coached their teams.
Wow.
And then, yeah, as they got older and, you know, I moved to Arizona from New Jersey, and then we continued that, you know, into soccer and just everything, you know, as they got a little older, then they were involved in the bands at high school, the marching bands. And so I was on the trips with them and, you know, at the competitions and, you know, at the games to watch them and stuff. So, and then when they went into college and they were still involved in that, then I traveled wherever I had to go.
That's good for you. My goodness, good for you. What do you do now with all this time on your hands?
Well, I'm a caregiver right now. I'm semi-retired, but but now I'm a caregiver, and I am enjoying that.
You've always been a caregiver, Pam. Listen, with those kids. We're in the grandparenting part now, where our grandchildren are growing up and doing sports, some of them on the club team, so they get to travel, and we get to travel some to be a part of it, to watch, and of course the softball games and the volleyball games and things. It's kind of fun. All right, one thing you'd pass along to a starting parent. All right, let me go to the calls. Let's go to Janet's on the line in Michigan. How are you?
Good, how are you?
Good. What do you want to pass along to a younger parent?
I would say let them wear it. The shoes, the butterfly wings, the princess dress, whatever. Just let them wear it. It's not worth it to fight over.
Did you fight over it?
Not let them wear it.
Did you fight over it?
I didn't, but I have a real close friend of mine whose daughter was in a wedding, and they got her a pretty dress, and she just wanted to wear it. Well, unfortunately, she passed away before the wedding.
Oh.
And so she never got to wear the dress. But she did wear the dress at the wedding, or at the funeral.
Mm.
So I just say, let them wear it. You never know. Just let them wear it.
Wow. There's nothing to add to that. Listen, well, I won't add. Thank you, Janet. Appreciate it. Talking about kids, let them wear it. maybe it's the kids today, but our grandson, he's 10, just turned 10. I don't know, whatever reason, he likes to wear two different color socks. One is like a blue one, and then he'll wear a green one, and then it'll be, and I say, Toby, I like that. Okay, all right, you know, that just gets way out of my comfort zone, Jennifer. You know, would you ever see me come to the office and I wear a black sock and a red sock? I would never do that. So anyway, let them wear it. Good reminder. All right, you can join in. One thing you would want to pass along to a younger parent, 888-888-1717. Angie, are you there?
I am here, Randy. How are you?
Good. Go right ahead. What do you want to share with younger parents?
Well, I raised two boys on my own, and they are now 28 and 32, and we are all still alive. But two things. The first thing is you've got to teach them about Christ. Because if you don't teach them the biblical moral ways, there's going to be somebody on the outside world waiting to do that for you. And it's not going to be what you want.
That's right.
The thing that I tell young parents now, especially young moms of boys, when they hit a certain age, it's 9, 10, 11, you'll know, it's time to turn them over to their father. They need to step out of the picture. They're there. The moms are there now to give hugs, put a Band-Aid on, but give them over to their dad, because only a dad can raise a son the way Christ intended. We as women have a tendency to helicopter. We don't discipline properly. We don't follow through on what we say because we're moms. We're too emotional. And those boys need to know what a true man is in the eyes of God and the difference between men and women. We're here to nurture.
I would agree with you, but I got to add, Angie, we got a lot of single moms raising their sons. And I think women are deeply needed in the life of their sons. And what I teach is don't be intimidated by that son of yours. Stand up, be firm, be loving, and maybe you're doing it all alone. God bless you. I know it's tough. And certainly, I agree. I believe girls need to have influence from women. Boys need influence from guys. And if dad's not on the scene or dad's not there, I think that's important. And that can happen with coaches and teachers and brothers and cousins and uncles and lots of other ways. But I really would, I guess, in a way challenge that in terms of saying, I don't think that mom should back out from sons, and I don't think dads need to back away from daughters. I think it needs to be both. And I hear what you're saying, yeah, Angie, but I think we got to be involved in both our daughters and our sons' lives.
Exactly. But, you know, there are times when, especially for a married couple, a mom needs to always back her husband and vice versa.
Oh, absolutely.
But, you know, when it comes to when they get, especially when those boys get 13, 14, 15, that's when the difficult times really happen. And as a single mom, you got to put the pants on.
And get it done. Absolutely.
Okay. Thank you, Angie. Appreciate it. Let's take a break. We'll be back. Lots of calls. What do you all think? What do you add? What do you subtract? What works? One advice. We're all different. We're all learning different things. If you're a young parent, you're getting some thoughts from those who've been down the trail ahead of you. Darren's next, then Michelle, Denise from Kansas, Georgia, Arizona, and you can join us too. 888-888-1717.
This is Intentional Living with your host, Dr. Randy Carlson. Intentional Living is furnished by Parent Talk Incorporated and is made possible by the generous support of our listeners. This program is not a substitute for professional counseling, medical, financial, or legal advice. Intentional Living is not intended to be therapy by radio. We are Intentional Living, and we'll be right back.
Here are six signs that either you or I are an emotionally weak person. Hi, I'm Dr. Randy Carlson with an Intentional Living Minute, and I included myself because on this last day of this two-week series on loving an emotionally weak person, I thought we'd turn the lens toward ourselves today. Six things quickly. Number one, do people walk on eggshells when they're around us? Or do people avoid certain topics when they're with us? Or do people hesitate speaking up until they determine our mood? Or number four, do people stop talking when we enter the room? Or do we have unresolved feelings toward a lot of people? Or number six, do we avoid confronting issues that need to be addressed? I went through that quickly. Maybe you want to listen to it again. I think some self-evaluation is good. Insight is good. I hope this has been helpful. I hope today you and I will be intentional.
Go to theintentionallife.com/minute to get the Intentional Living Minute in your email every day.
All right, we're talking kids today, and I was thinking while you're hearing that spot about our own parenting, and I got to confess, all the stupid things I'm not supposed to say that, right? All the dumb things that we worried about and put as a priority when the kids were young, at least I did, or getting sidetracked, distracted, busy with ministry work, other kinds of things. It'd be nice to rewind the clock, but you can't. We are where we are. But I'll tell you what, I would say to young parents, listen to what you're hearing. Process it. Think about it in terms of where you are in your life with your kids today. Okay, Ann's on the line from Arizona. Hi, Ann. How you doing?
Hi. I'm very well, thank you.
Go right ahead. What have you learned?
I have learned, my daughter's 34 now, and most of those years were I was a single mom. Mm. But the point is, I learned afterwards, and now watching my nieces and other parents do the same mistakes I did, which consistency and follow through are the most important things. Yep. As far as discipline or, you know, threatening, I'm going to pull the car over, or, you know, behave this way and this is going to happen. Well, you have to follow through with that.
And yeah, reminds me of a story. I was on an airplane one time and a mom was sitting right behind me and, you know, the little kid kicking the seat and crying and all the stuff.
Yes.
And the mom was obviously young mom over just frustrated. And she said, listen, I'm telling you, Johnny, if you don't stop, I'm going up. I'm going to have this pilot turn this plane around and we're going back home. I said, no, we're not. No, we're not. Yeah. So sometimes you're grounded for life. You know, you're not grounded for life. So yeah, that's good. Being consistent. Did you wrestle with that when they were younger?
Oh, yes, very much. And, you know, and being single and her dad was in her life, but not on the same page as I was. And so that's always difficult, but it's still one consistent parent that she can count on or he can count on. And they want that.
That's right. Listen, we live in a crazy
more than anything they want.
We live in a crazier world today, Anne, than you and I did when we were raising our kids years ago. And kids now, with all the instability in the world and all the confusion in the world and disruption in the world, everything going on, they need that. When they come into our homes, they need to know there's consistency, love,
follow through, stability.
Right. And that is love.
That's right. Routine. Right. And they know that things are predictable. I pass that along to every young parent, especially single moms and dads. Be boring. Parents, you don't have to be exciting. Your kids don't need for you to be exciting. They need for you to be there and be as boring as you need to be. later they'll appreciate it. Maybe not now. Okay. Thank you. Appreciate that call. Let me go to Darren in Kansas. Hi, Darren. How you doing?
I'm doing great. How are you?
Good. One thing for your younger parents.
Make sure that you're always setting the example because they're watching you all the time.
Yeah.
Little things like pulling up to a place and there's a homeless person and I went inside to buy sandwiches for me and my daughter and I came back out and I bought an extra sandwich and I gave it to the homeless person. And my daughter's like, "What did you just do?" And I said, "I just gave him food because he looks hungry. And he's not begging for food, but he probably needed food, and he was really thankful." And she remembered that. Now she's 23 years old. I'm driving out to her in Denver and setting that example, that leading, that they're watching you. So you don't have to teach them by talking, but you're teaching them by that what they're seeing you do.
Right. That includes everything from, did you get too much change back at the store? Did you pay the bill on time? How do you talk about people? Kids are great recorders. They pick everything up, don't they? Like sponges, yeah. You know?
And that's like walking out of the store with something you didn't pay for it. Yeah. Walking back into the store and paying for it and saying, "I walked out with this. I came back in and I need to make the payment because I didn't pay for it."
That's right. I remember that. You said you're on your way to go visit your daughter right now?
Yes, I have a van full of her stuff. She's getting a new apartment in Denver, Colorado, and I'm traveling from Melbourne, Florida.
Oh, wow. Well, drive safely, my friend, and I hope it goes well for you.
Thank you very much. This is the first time I ever heard your show, and thank you for doing your show. It's very nice.
Well, I'm glad you're listening. Now, listen, Darren, you might be passing through a radio station area, but here's the good news today. You can hear it online anywhere. If you have access to online, go to theintentionallife.com. Theintentionallife.com. All the stuff's there. All of our shows, podcasts, articles, lots of things talking about life and God's intention. So hope you'll check it out. Time for a break. We have time for a break. Let's take that break. We'll be back. Michelle, hang on there in Georgia. Denise in Arizona will be with both of you here in just a moment. An expectation reset will build, I think it'll build more intimacy in your marriage. You've heard me say that expectations, whenever they're greater than reality, it creates disappointment in the marriage relationship. I really encourage you to sit down with your spouse and think about, what are four or five things that you expect from marriage? What are some things that are important to you? And exchange that list and then be able to talk about it. Because at the end of the day, when we're not meeting the expectations of our spouse, even though our intentions are good, it's going to create disappointment and disillusionment and sometimes great discouragement in the marriage relationship. It's an excerpt from this month's teaching to our master class, to our support family, those of you who are part of our intentional living community. And it's on the topic of hitting that reset in your marriage. And I use the word reset because a reset kind of takes you back to factory settings. And if you've ever messed something up, sometimes you just have to hit the reset and get it all set back to what the factory originally intended. And then you can make adjustments from there. Now, you see the analogy, don't you? That the reset to factory settings for a child of God, a follower of Christ, is figuring out what God's intentions are for us in the various areas of life and living according to them. Not perfectly, by the way. This is not about, we don't call this perfection living. It's just being intentional. Because here's what we've seen in our research, what we've seen in working with families, when we choose to be intentional, to do the next right thing, do the thing next that's going to move us in the right direction, you're more likely to get to where you want to go than if you don't.
made me think of Darren driving along there from Florida to Denver. And if along the way he decides to take a little side road, hey, that's kind of a nice road. He could end up, in Illinois, far from his destination. And that's true in our lives as well. There's lots of little side roads that are interesting to see along the way. But if we stay focused on what matters most, today we're talking about our kids. You get 17, 18 years to raise our children, right? And if we stay intentional in doing the next right one thing, what is God's intention? Building that strategy, standing up as a parent. I just did a podcast on that topic, how do you be the parent that God intends? It's being intentional. Okay, let me go to Michelle in Georgia. How are you today?
I'm all right. How are you?
Fantastic. Go right ahead. What's your one thing?
Well, I've never had children, but I taught children for many years, and I remember being very young. And I'll tell you, do not, under any circumstances, talk down to your children once they hit about 5-6 years old. I remember being about 7 or 8. I had to go to the doctor. I was born with horseshoe kidneys. They were joined at the wrong ends. So I had a real fun childhood, And I had to go, they would take a urine sample, like with a catheter or however they do it, and it hurt every time. And they're all like, oh, what a pretty little dress. I'm like, I'm thinking, I know what you're about to do. Do not insult my intelligence. Okay. I mean, kids may be little and young and all that, but they're not stupid, and they'll see right through you. Okay.
That's right.
They totally will. Be honest. Don't talk down to them. I mean, I do have a goddaughter, and it's kind of like I started working with this girl. She was like just getting into her teenage years when I started working with her, because her family's so dysfunctional. And over the years, I was just trying to be there for her. And I'm like, I told her at one point, I said, Kelsey, even if every adult around you is dead up wrong, because we can be. I said, somebody's got to get spiritual quick, and sometimes it's going to have to be the kids, even though that shouldn't be. Sometimes it is.
Mm.
I mean, just be honest. Do not talk down to them. Do not act like you're God, because you're not.
Mm. That's right.
Let them know. Let them know, hey, I make mistakes too. Major ones. Okay? We all do. They appreciate that. She appreciated that, and the fact that I was just there. I told her, I said, if you need me to come pick you up at 3 o'clock in the morning, I'll do it. Just call me.
Being honest. Hey, listen, we need to be honest with your kids. And I tell parents, thank you for the call, Michelle. I tell parents too, honesty includes when you've blown it, to say I've blown it. I'm sorry. Will you forgive me? I mean, just being honest with your kids, because kids, they want to, I mean, they will, they're willing to do that. They want, they need for us to be real, but they also need for us to be parents. They want to make sure that there's somebody in charge around here. But they don't always tell you that. I've never heard a kid come and say, you know what I really appreciate about my mom and dad is they're always in charge around here. But in the back of their minds, they want that stability. They don't want you to be bossy. It's not about being an authoritarian where you're being bossy and controlling. That's not the point. But that you're setting the environment. It's just like planting a seed in the ground. You have to build the environment for it to grow and thrive. And that's a big part of this thing of being an intentional parent. All right. By the way, the phone line is open. We're going to stay here. We're wrapping up in about 5 minutes live, but we're going to stay here and record for another show on this very same topic that's going to air sometime next week, right? They're all looking. They're scurrying to tell me when it's going to air next week.
Wednesday, the 24th.
The 24th, next Wednesday. All right. And so you can call, because I'd love to talk to you. We're asking for those of you who have raised kids, you've been through this. One thing you've learned, you want to pass along to a rookie parent, give us a call, 888-888-1717, 888-888-1717, and we'll get you hooked up as we go into the recording. Okay, before we go there, though, Denise has been waiting so patiently in Arizona. How are you today?
I'm great, thank you.
Good. What's your one thing, Denise?
Well, I was following behind Anne in the topic of consistency with your children. They need to know where their parents stand. I raised three children. They're far apart, 37 now, 26, and a 20-year-old. And they knew how to play mom against dad. We were not married. We were divorced. So they knew. I used to tell them they knew that if they wanted something, they could ask dad over and over and over. He'd eventually give in. But they knew if mom said no, it was no. And they never pushed the envelope when it came to me. So I would just tell them, the answer's no. Just tell me how many times I need to say it because it's going to stay no.
How did that turn out later? Okay. Did the kids ever, as they grew up, reflect back on growing up like that?
They still know the difference. They still know if they want to push the envelope, they'll ask dad. Like, for example, something simple. Can you buy me this? Can you buy me that? Whatever. They would ask dad, and he may say no the first couple of times, but they would know he would eventually fold. For me, they know that if mom said no, my 20-year-old, not old enough to drink, he's a fireman now, but he's not even old enough to drink alcohol. And he asked me one day that, could I buy him some beer that they were going to go fishing? And I said, did you forget who you're talking to? Now, I don't know if he went and asked dad to get it or not, or went and asked a friend to get it or not, but I told him, did you forget? Because you're not 21. So I think they still know. But it's funny. They also know other things, like if they want certain things done, which parent to go to. My daughter, she's the 26-year-old, and she said one day, she said, I want you to do this because I know you're better at it than dad.
Interesting. Very interesting. Think of all the money you saved over all those years. But that's true. And of course, the reason I ask about how the kids reflected on that later is because they can, like you say, they can use that against you. They can push the buttons. Dad did this and mom didn't do that and all that kind of stuff. It's better when obviously mom and dad are in agreement. Sometimes that is, sometimes it's not, but it's a good reminder. Let your yay be yay and your nay be nay. Being consistent. All right, we're wrapping up. Phone lines are getting busy again. I'll tell you what, we're going to roll right into our recording here as soon as we wrap up live in about 45 seconds. And so if you'd like to join in, tell us one thing that helped you, that, I mean, you'd rather pass along to a younger parent that was helpful for you as a parent, give us a call. We'll get you on. 888-888-1717 is the number. We'll go to Texas as our first caller in the next show and coming up in a moment. All right. Thank you, Jennifer. And thank you, Gino, for Facebook Live today and our senior producer, Stephen Davis. I'm Dr. Randy Carlson right here in our Intentional Living Center in beautiful Tucson, Arizona, where we had a beautiful downpour last night. A lot of rain. Very nice. And we'll see you again tomorrow with more Intentional Living.